That's pickleball. It's the fastest growing sport in America, and possibly Australia, and possibly New Zealand too. The pop sound of its ball is causing neighbourhood tensions and turf wars with tennis clubs. It's a big deal, pickleball. On April the 2nd, tennis icons Andre Agassi, John McEnroe, Andy Roddick and Michael Chang will be among those competing for $1 million in an inaugural Hollywood pickleball slam. It's essentially a form of paddle tennis. It's lower impact than tennis, but it's seen the development of a booming US pro circuit established by competing billionaires. Wellingtonian Jay Grewal played on the US circuit last year. He returns very soon. And pickleball has taken him all over the show, India, Japan, Australia, all over New Zealand, hold clinics, play in tournaments. And he's with me now. He's brought me a paddle and a ball. I don't think the sound is that irritating, Jay.
I agree, Kim. I think it's a pleasant sound.
All right. When did you start playing pickleball?
So I started playing mid-2019 in the States.
Were you in the States anyway?
Yeah, I was in the States. So I was working there, and I went over there to play tennis in the college area. So after working there, a couple of our mates, they started playing pickleball, and they invited me out, and I played a couple of times, and I was hooked. You know, it was. Really
and
fun.
Are you still playing tennis, or have you turned over completely to pickleball?
I would say I've turned over completely to pickleball now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I love it. It's fun.
Why is it better than tennis?
Oh, why is it better than tennis?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, there's a ball, there's a bat.
Yeah. I would say it's different to tennis in the way that it's accessible to a whole range of demographics, you know. So you could have the grandparents playing with the grandkids, the parents playing with their kids.
That's how it came about, right? It was created by three guys who wanted to keep their kids occupied on a rainy day.
Yeah.
So they rigged up this net.
Yeah.
And it evolved from there. It's played on a court, a quarter of the size of a tennis court.
Yeah, roughly a quarter of the size. The dimensions, if you want to think about it visually, is identical to a badminton court. So like you were saying, when the sport was first invented, one of the families in the backyard had a badminton court. And so they lowered the net to kind of a tennis level, and that's how kind of, you know, the sport we call pickleball now, that's how it was born. So, yeah, the court isn't very big. And it's also easy to set up, you know. You can really set it up on an existing tennis court. And there's been viral videos of people playing at the airport, actually, funny enough. So,
what do you mean at the airport? Not on the runway?
No. maybe one day. But in the waiting area, they were literally just, you know, they have those big rows of chairs, put it on the side and just start kind of, as you call it, dinking in the sport.
Dinking is what?
So dinking is the soft area of the sport. So basically, when the teams are up at the kitchen line, there's an area called the non-volley zone.
When you say the kitchen line,
yeah, I'm throwing a lot of terms at you.
Is that a pickleball terminology?
Yeah, it comes. So that's part of the pickleball court in a sense. So that's what it makes.
Why
it different.
Why they call it the kitchen line?
Great question.
No idea.
I don't have the answer for you today for that one.
All right, but the kitchen line is an area each side of the net.
Yeah, so it's an area just about 7 feet away from the net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either side.
But on both sides.
What does it mean? What's it for?
So at the kitchen line, basically, in front of the kitchen line is a non-volley zone. So basically in pickleball,
within the kitchen, between the kitchen line and the net.
Correct.
You can't volley.
It's a non-volley zone. Correct.
At any point.
So Let me backtrack a little bit. So you can volley, but you can't have your feet inside that zone unless the ball bounces in there first.
Right.
So technically you can lean in and take the ball out of the air.
Right.
But If your feet aren't in there. But you can't step in and crush like you would in tennis, right? When you're volleying a ball, hanging overhead, you can come up right to the net and just crush it away.
This is not just to, in a serve return. At any point, you're not allowed to.
Any point. Unless the ball bounces.
Because I'm sure I read somebody saying that the idea in pickleball is to get up and volley close to the net. But you're not allowed to do that, right?
You're not. I wonder who said that.
Oh, some rule breaker. There's always a rule breaker, right? Okay.
Yeah.
How do you serve?
Serve is underhand. So unlike tennis, which is an overhand serve.
So you can never do those punishing serves.
You can't. So another kind of a great equalizer of pickleball is that underhand serve. But, you know, you can still serve pretty hard and fast, even underhand, you know. It can come flying. And especially with the technology in the paddle these days.
And the ball has to bounce before you can return the serve.
Correct, yeah, the two bounce rule.
It's a plastic ball full of holes.
Yeah.
Does it bounce?
It does bounce, yeah, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kim, I reckon we'll go out and play sometime and we'll show you.
Well, I've never been terribly good at ball sports.
Yeah.
Jay.
Well, this is perfect for you. I think.
Perfect for people who are hopeless at ball sports.
No. What I'm saying is it's the reason why it's growing so fast is it's so easy to pick up and play, really, you know. I could be out there with you for 20, 30 minutes. I'm sure you'll pick it up right away.
Why? Because it's slower?
I believe slower is one of the cases, just because of the plastic ball in a sense. It can only go so far.
Right.
The size of the court, it's easier for us to kind of rally and keep in the point. And also because of rules like the two bounce rule and the non-volley zone, those kind of equalizers just make it a little bit easier for different levels of players to play with each other.
And you can play single or double.
You can play and mixed, yeah. So doubles, gender and mixed doubles as well.
The doubles would get a bit crowded, wouldn't it, if the court's only a quarter of the size of a tennis court?
Yeah.
Still, squash, you can do it with squash, why not?
Yeah, that's true. It does get crowded. I mean, two guys on one, or you know, two partners on one side of the court, you can basically cover the entire width of that court.
How do you win?
By getting to 11 points. The first team to get to 11 points.
And how do you get a point?
Great. So you can only win points on your serve. So you have to be serving to win the point.
But not on the serve. Like, your team can only win a point if they have the service.
Correct. Okay. If you're serving. Right. Sorry, yeah. If you're serving, yeah, that's correct. And so normally when you're scoring, you call out three different numbers. So, for example, it could be 1-1-2. So the first score you call out is your own score. The second number would be your opponent's score.
Yeah. And how do the opponents get a score?
When they're serving. So basically in pickleball you get two serves. So when you start a game, you start at 0-0-2.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever team starts serving first, only one person can serve. If you lose a point, the other team doesn't get a point, but then the serve goes over to them.
Oh.
And the score becomes 0-0-1.
Oh.
So now the other side of the team, that first person can keep serving until they lose a point. When they lose a point, then it's the partner's time to serve. Once they've both finished serving, then the opposing team serves and then just goes back and forth like that.
And do you call out your own scores? You call out the scores yourself?
Yeah, you call out the score before you start.
Really?
But that's at the recreation level. Obviously, at the pro level, you have the
refs. You've got umpires.
You got umpires. They call the score out for you, but the score is always called before the point begins. Yeah.
There's been a certain amount of discontent with the professionalisation of it. Because, you know, people are very fond of it and it's very inclusive and it's friendly, it's non-competitive and everybody played with everybody else. As you said, grandparents, grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And now you guys, the hotshots, come along and make it competitive and nasty and put money up.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Quite good, I imagine.
Look, I wouldn't use the word nasty, you know. I think it's great for the sport. It's helped grow in the sport because nothing naturally. Pickleball is already well known in the older demographic. It's sort of a big sport for kind of in the retirement areas of the States. But I really believe this pro scene has kind of elevated the sport to the younger generation coming up. So actually, 30% of players right now in the States are people between 18 and 35, which is pretty astounding. You know, some people say, oh, it's a, you know, that old person sport. So I'm like, well, it's more of a generational sport, you know. I would call it a sport for really for everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
35 is getting up there. Are you finding that, you know, tennis players who often kind of burn out by that age, are they going on to pickleball to extend their careers?
I wouldn't say extend their careers. Obviously, it depends how successful they were on the tennis scene, you know. I mean, if you've got like Federer who stops playing tennis, I don't think he'll be worried about picking up pickleball anytime soon. But, look, there have been a lot of tennis players who have kind of made the switch, you know, to pickleball. I think because of the low impact of that sport, when you do get older in a sport like tennis, it can get tough to still stay competitive and to still be out there and play. But with pickleball, you get that kind of competitiveness back, you know, like you used to have when you were playing tennis in younger days. So, now there are a lot of people kind of making the switch, and there'll be definitely more in the future.
So what's the level of professionalism going on at the moment? There's a couple of circuits, are there?
Yeah, so there's two circuits right now, the PPA and the ABP, pretty original.
Yeah.
just backwards in acronyms.
And they are obviously competing against one another?
Yeah, so...
And there's a major league...
Correct. So there's the MLP, which is a major league pickleball. So think of it like your MLB or NBA. So you have these pro teams, four players.
There is a case for saying, sorry to interrupt, that something called pickleball is never going to be taken seriously.
Sorry, what was that?
Never going to be taken seriously with that name.
Yeah, I could see the view on that, but also I think the name makes it unique and people don't forget about it. You know, once you hear the word pickleball, it's hard to forget. It's hard to forget their name.
And do you think that there could be another name?
No, I don't.
We don't know about the origins of that name.
Yeah.
We talked earlier before we went on air about, you know, the story is that those three guys that started it up back in the day had a dog called Pickle.
Mm-hmm.
That's been disputed and disputed again because the dog called Pickle didn't come along till later. And then there's a Pickle Boat.
Right.
What is that?
So Pickle Boat, I believe it comes from rowing or canoeing. I'm not sure the exact sport it comes from, but basically...
I think it's rowing.
It is rowing. Yeah, it is rowing. So
I should have asked my previous interviewee, actually. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So basically a Pickle Boat is kind of the leftover people in a sense that aren't on the other rowing teams. And so... like the two origins you were mentioning, the wife of one of the creators, kind of comes from her view that the name was came from the pickle boat, because pickleball is a combination of different sports. You know, it's a bit of badminton, bit of table tennis, bit of tennis. So that's one side story. Obviously,
right.
The other side you're talking about was a dog. I've heard countless stories that is true. There were two dogs, Lulu and Pickles. That the families had. And so Pickles was a dog who used to run after the ball and always grab that ball. And so I think...
Lucky it wasn't Lulu. That would have been a disastrous name.
that is true. And so I think they just realized that why don't we call it pickleball that way. So
what about your career? What are you doing? You're going back to the States. What will you be doing there?
Yeah, so in about 3 weeks, I'm going back, and I'll be going back on the pro circuit. So I've lined up a few tournaments and, going to really give it a crack over there.
And you could make a living?
That's the hope. We'll definitely go for gold.
Are you working as well over there as this is your sole aim?
No, I'll also be working. Yeah. It's
what are you
not,
doing?
So currently I do work at Snapper as an account manager, so I'll be doing that over there as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And trying to see if you can make it big on the pickleball circuit.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a crack, you know. It's an awesome opportunity. I have a couple of mates who are already playing on the circuit, and I love to compete, and I love to be out there. So, you know, I'm definitely going to give it a crack. I'm pretty excited for the journey.
Very nice to talk to you. We'll keep in touch and see how you get on the pro circuit, the pickleball pro circuit. Jay Gruel.